Church, would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you for today. God, I ask the same thing that we asked during our last song, Lord. Would you show us Christ? Would you reveal your glory to us, God? Through the preaching of the Word, through the Word that your Holy Spirit inspired to be written some few thousand years ago, but yet it is perfect for us today. God, would you show Christ to our children? Would you show Christ to the youth, God, as they gather together, as they worship, as they learn more about this King of glory? Show us Christ, O Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm looking at the time, and I realize I got about 4 minutes. So, we're moving quick, people. Amen. Amen. I got way too many amens out of that than I should have. You know, wasn't that an amazing worship time?
Yeah, it was.
It really was. And when one person's excited, when we have amazing times of worship like that, you know, we kind of have rough guidelines on how much time we want to spend in each kind of section of our meeting together. But when the Holy Spirit comes, you know, when God visits us, sometimes those ideas that we have just kind of go right out the window. And so we spend a great deal of time in worship and in communion and in joining together. And then Michael gets 4 minutes to preach. You know, this is actually a great transition to the message, because a message is entitled Life's Not Fair, if you notice that. Have you ever heard that before? Life's not fair?
With children.
Anybody ever hear it growing up? You get in trouble for something? You find out what the consequence is, and we say, well, that's not fair. And if your mom was like my mom, she said, life's not fair. Get over it. I heard that a lot. Our kids say that to us a bunch. Life's not fair. It's not. But this is what I want to submit to you, church, today. When it comes to God, when it comes to our relationship with God, life really is not fair. And thank God for it. What I mean by that is this. Have you ever thought of how big, how powerful, how majestic our God is? You know, we can't even fathom it within our minds. However big we think he is, he's bigger. However great we think he is, he's greater. However powerful we think he is, he has more power than that. And you know, one way to try to see how great our God is to look at creation. You know, Psalm number 8 says, when I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And so what I want us to do this morning for just next minute, a minute and a half, I've got a video clip I want to show us, and I want us to see how great and how vast God's creation is. Ron, would you pull that up for me? And if you look at the bottom, there's like a measuring stick of the distance right there. This is a pretty good camera, isn't it, to be able to zoom out like that? There's 1,000 kilometers. That's the moon's orbit, that circle right there. Isn't this amazing, church?
It is.
We're still in our galaxy. It gets better.
That's got to be for the Hubble. Maybe not.
Here's one light year. We're still in our galaxy. Those are the closest stars to us right there. Here's our little galaxy, 100,000 light years in diameter. And that's just one of them. And here is computer-generated image, of course, of our universe, hundreds of billions of light years, which a light year is simply the amount of space that light can travel in 1 year, hence the name light year. But when you see something like that, remember the words of the psalmist, "What is man? Who am I that God should take thought of me?" But he does. Oh, he does. And you know, out of all of that creation that we saw, out of all the galaxies, they estimate there's a few hundred billion galaxies in this universe. And we haven't seen hardly any of them. That's just a guess. Do you know what God treasures the most in his creation? Do you know what brings God the most joy? Well, if you were with us last week, Ken Woodward showed us. This is what Moses speaks. And he says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." Church, you are God's treasured possession. Out of all creation, God gets more joy out of you than absolutely anything else. Tell me that's not amazing. And why? Why does God love us so much? Moses keeps going. And he says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than all the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples." So he's saying it's not anything within us. But it was because the Lord loved you. And so why does God love us? Because he loves us. It really is as simple as that. And so you today are God's treasured possession. The question becomes, how do we respond to that? You know, some people, actually many religions, teach that God has done so much for you, you need to spend your life working and trying to repay that debt, trying to get on an even playing field with God. And if that's what you're trying to do here today, good luck. Because that doesn't happen. In fact, some are even driven to despair. They're driven to depression because they feel like they owe God so much and there's nothing they can do to repay him. And so what does God want? What does God want in response to him? When we see that he has made us his treasured possession, what does God ask in return? And it is this, that we would make God our treasured possession. Amen. God wants us to follow him with all of our heart and with all of our soul. This isn't a legalism. This isn't an earning love. This isn't God wanting us to do A, B, and C in order to get him to bless us. It's just simply this. God says, "I love you." And he wants us to love him back. You know, we've been working through a few passages in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the Bible. And it is some of the last words that Moses spoke to Israel before he died at a ripe old age. I think he was 120. But if you have your Bibles, open them up. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 10 this morning. Chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 12. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. It will appear on the screen as we read it. But Moses is going to show us how we respond to God. And this is what he says, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God, with all of your heart and all of your soul, and to observe, to keep the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your ancestors and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. If you're with us a few weeks ago, we talk about the foundation that God gives us for our very lives. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it was, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And today, Moses is showing us how to build off of that foundation. Now, if you look just before this passage, in the first 11 verses of the chapter, Moses is recounting the golden calf incident. And what that is, Moses had brought the Israelites, they went through the Red Sea, he led them out in the desert, God had provided for them. And God provides Moses to go up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the Ten Commandments. And he's up there for 40 days. And during that time, the Israelites below got a little, we'll say antsy. Restless is a good word too. And so they build this golden calf. And they teach the people. They say, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." You know, it's an amazing thing. They built it. And they said that this led us out of Egypt. This led us out of slavery. And that idol was a slap in the face of God. Because it was telling God that he didn't do anything for them. It was this statue. And church, I want to tell us for today, it is the same thing. Whenever we either take credit for ourselves or give credit to something else that rightly belongs to God. Whenever we take credit within ourselves, if we say that I have earned something because I have worked hard, and we forget God, there's an issue there. Now, we are called to work hard, but we should always remember that it is God that blesses. It is God that provides. And when Israel had committed this great sin, afterwards, God forgave them, and he renewed the covenant with them. There were consequences for that sin. Read about it sometime. And when we sin, there's consequences for our sin. You know, oftentimes, we suffer the consequences of somebody else's sin. Somebody whom we know, someone whom we love within our circles. We suffer because of their sin. But you know what? God's love is not based on our sin. It would be in a fair world, but life's not fair. Thank God. And so what will our life look like if we have God as our treasured possession? Well, the first thing we would do is we would fear him. Now this fear, it's not like a scared, you're not cowering away from something. This fear is a respect. It's a reverence. It's the same kind of respect we should have for the authorities in our lives. You know, God puts them there. Hopefully, I say that hopefully because I can't speak for everybody, but hopefully we're not driving around breaking laws left and right. That's between you and God, right, and the police, I guess. But even if we are following the law, even if we're driving a speed limit, et cetera, we still have a respect for those in police, for those in government, because they are the authorities in our lives. And so we're going to have a respect, a reverence for God. We're going to walk with him. Now, to walk with God simply means that we're going to decide every day, I'm going to live today for God. We're going to love God. We're going to make God our treasured possession. We're going to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We're going to serve. You know, when we have the love of God within us, we serve others. That love gets poured out to others. And all serving is it showing the world the goodness of our God. It's walking out God's call within our lives. Every single person in here, everyone has a call on their life. And when we serve, we walk out that call for God. And lastly, we keep His commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, you will follow my commands. And that's just a matter-of-fact statement. You know, when you love someone, you want to keep their wishes. You want to do things for them. And it's the same way with God. Put simply, what does our life look like with God as our treasured possession? It means that we will choose life. You know, I think Ken, last week, he did such a great job sharing God's love for us, showing us God's desire for us in everyday life through His law, through His moral law, through the words that He puts within us to act out every single day. You know, it reminds me of a conversation I had a few weeks ago. After I'd preached, someone was nice enough to come up and say, you know, Michael, you did a good job speaking and everything, but when can we hear Ken Woodward again? And I had to say, listen, Ken, look, I don't need that right now. Anyways. But God's heart for us, it's not just here. It's not just in these four walls. It's not that we come to church on Sundays to experience God. We experience God through every aspect of our lives. When God is our treasured possession, we see Him everywhere, and we try to live all of life for Him. Remember the greatness of God. Remember that He loves you. I heard it said once, if you ever want to contemplate God, go out somewhere where you can see stars. They're hard to see in the city. Go out to Harrisburg, go out to Ashland. Look at the stars and just say, Our Father. And spend some time just thinking about that. The God who created those stars is your Father. And so we see that we are called to make God our treasured possession. What keeps us from doing so? What gets in the way? Well, I think many idols, they vie for our attention, just like the idols did to Israel. This world is full of distractions that pulls our attention away from God. In fact, right now, we're in the season of distraction. You know, summer's here. The weather's here. We want to go on vacations. We want to sleep in. We want to go to ball games. And let me say, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I hope everyone has the opportunity to do all of those things this summer. I want to be able to do them. But we get in trouble when we let those things take the place of God, when we focus on His gifts and forget Him as our gift giver. And you know, an idol doesn't have to be something tangible, like that golden calf was something they could touch. An idol could be our pride, could be our lust, could be our really anything. And in fact, we are so good, we as a people, at making idols. One of the reformers in the Protestant Reformation said that the human heart is a factory of idols. If we look around and don't see any, well, we're real good at making some real quick. That's why in verse 16, Moses says, circumcise your hearts. Now, that's a metaphor. What that means is take away anything from your heart that stands in the way between you and God. If there's a hardness of heart there, take it away. Prepare your heart to receive God. And then he says, be stiff-necked no longer. Stiff-necked just simply means stubborn. When God wants to mold, when God wants to shape our hearts, let Him. Let Him rule and reign within our lives. Seek Him. You know, the more time we spend in prayer, the more time we spend reading God's Word, the more our hearts will look like His. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, God says that He would take away our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh. You see, stone, it can't be shaped. It can't be molded. It can't have God's impression upon it. But when God gives us a heart of flesh, that means that he is going to shape our hearts. He is going to be there with us throughout all of life. And so we want to enjoy his blessings. We want to enjoy his gifts. But we don't want them to become the main thing. We want God to be the main thing in our lives. And so we can overcome our idols. How do we make God our treasured possession? Well, I want to encourage you today in the words of Micah the prophet. He says this. He says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Walk humbly with God. Decide every day that we are going to live this day for him.
Amen.
When we get up in the morning, we're going to set our face to following God throughout every aspect of that day, be it at work, be it at the dinner table, at the ball game, at the movie theaters, the restaurants, wherever we find ourselves, we want to follow God. And as we are seeking to prepare our hearts to receive God, sometimes you're going to experience your heart getting hardened. You're going to experience some bitterness, some anger, some pride within you. As soon as we feel that, confess it to God and ask him to take it away, because he will do so. You know, when we walk with God, we remember that the good stuff in our lives, they're gifts from him. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And also, when we walk with God, we realize that when we suffer because of our sin, when we suffer because of the sin of someone else, that Jesus suffers along with us. We never have to wonder where he is, because he is right there beside you. You know, sometimes we can feel like a victim of circumstance. Doug kind of touched on it earlier. We can feel as if everything in our life is just going down the tube. You may be thinking, you know, it's easy to follow God when life is good. It's easy to follow God when everything's lining up real good. But then you're wondering, who knows what I'm going through? No one knows what I'm going through. Let me encourage you with this. God does know. God knows exactly what you're going through. God knows exactly everything about you. He knows the good, the bad, and the ugly. You want to know the amazing thing? He loves you. It's not based on anything within us. It's based on the simple fact that God loves us. You see, in a fair world, whenever we turn from God, whenever we sin, whenever we let something come between us and God, in a fair world, he could just walk away. But life is not fair. And thank God for it. Ken, would you come up? Because he doesn't give us what we deserve. He doesn't give us what we've earned. He gives us so much more than that. And so, church, I encourage you today, make God your treasured possession. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. God, I thank you for all of creation. I thank you for the amazing work that you have done in this universe, around us, all around us, God. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done that we haven't even discovered and probably never will. You know, that video we watched, it shows us all the stuff out in deep space. But yet, God, I'm reminded that just here on Earth, most of our oceans are unexplored. There are many places here that we haven't found yet. But God, you know all about them. And so, God, we thank you for your creation. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us your treasured possession. And God, we seek to do the same thing. You know what, Ken, can we sing that song again? Can we do that? Let's sing this song again together, church. And then we'll go out from there. If you will, please stand and let's sing together.
Show us Christ. Show us Christ. Oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until Christ, oh God, reveal your glory through the preaching of your word until every heart confesses Christ is Lord.
Lord, would you show us Christ today, God? Show us Christ today. Show us how to walk humbly with Him. Remind us, God, of your treasured possession, and show us, God, how we can make you ours. Because we thank you, God, that this life, oh, this life is not fair. Thank God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's see. How'd we do? Oh, man. If you have your kiddos, please go and get them. Thank you for coming, and we will see you again next week.